Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Some of you have fought things in your family, and I believe that God is saying to the church that if we will hang on and we will dig again and we will trust God and not give up, that the breakthrough is coming in our life. Some of you have struggled for years with different things. The breakthrough is coming in Jesus' name, if you can get a hold of it, if you can receive the word of the Lord. So the message is given, the story is given to illustrate the need for constant prayer and to show them, the disciples, any disciples here, this is for us, that they must never give up. Now, there was a judge in a certain day, he said, who was a godless man, great contempt for everyone. Widow of that city came to him repeatedly appealing for justice against someone who had harmed her. You know this story. You've read it before. The judge ignored her for quite a while, but eventually, even that old hard-hearted, wicked judge, she wore him out. I fear neither God nor man, he said to himself, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant request. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this evil judge. Now, do not misunderstand this story. This is not a story to say that God is like the evil judge. And I think sometimes we read that and the enemy will say, yep, that's exactly the way God is. How long have you been praying? How long have you been standing? And nothing is happening. Let me tell you, that is not what Jesus was telling the disciples. What he was telling the disciples was that even the wicked know how to get the wicked to do what needs to be done. And don't you understand that God is not like the wicked? He most certainly will come through on your behalf. You see, to the unrighteous judge, you're not for sure that he will. You never know positively that that judge is going to bend and is going to give you justice. But God is saying, as the righteous, I want you to pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Never give up. And this story is to say, I'm faithful. God is faithful to his people. Even this judge rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely, say surely, God will surely give justice to his chosen people who plead with him day and night. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. Now that's a funny word, isn't it? Quickly. You say, what does quickly mean? One thing I know it does not mean on my clock. Because I know what it is to say, God, I'm into fast answers to prayer. I prayed, I believe, let's get this done. Let's get her done. One thing I know about quickly is that's God's timing. And when God moves, all hell is going to move quickly to get out of the way. That's where the quickly is going to be. And it will be worth it all. We used to sing a song, it will be worth it all. When we see Jesus, life's trials will seem so small when we see him. He's faithful. I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when I, the Son of Man, I want to make sure you get this last part of this verse. When I, the Son of Man, return, how many will I find who have faith? Who have faith? I believe the King James says, will I find faith on the earth when I return? Something like that. Will there be people who are standing and trusting? You know the answer to that, don't you? The answer is yes, because there is a remnant, right? So constant prayer is needed and enduring faith is needed. This is really about faith. It's really a message about faith. It's a story about faith. It's a story about how our faith is to function. And so as I looked at this and studied this and thought about it, it took me to Matthew chapter 6, and we still have a couple minutes. So let's go to Matthew chapter 6 and look at this passage. Matthew chapter 6, you're familiar with this passage. Matthew 6, verse 1, it talks about our giving. Don't do your good deeds publicly. Take care. Well, that's not all it says. It actually says to be admired, to be looked upon by man. It's talking about don't do your giving to impress men. Because then you will lose your reward from your Father in heaven when you give a gift to someone in need. So keep in mind who he's talking about. This is not tithing. This is alms. It's gifts to the poor, to a person. You're ministering to them. When you give a gift to someone in need, don't shout about it as the hypocrites do. This is what the church leaders were doing. They wanted to make a big deal out of themselves in the assembly. So Jesus is saying, don't do that as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I assure you, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone, don't tell your left hand what your right hand is doing. And I've had some people tell me, well, Pastor, you know, I only give cash because I don't want anyone to know what I'm giving by check. No, I don't take anything off my taxes. This is not talking about giving to the church. It's talking about what you're doing on the street corner, what you're doing in the marketplace, what you're doing on your job, what you're doing with someone in the assembly. This past week, it was brought to my attention that someone had an outstanding debt of over $700. And I'm just looking at the records. I'm going through the records, and I'm just looking at those. And it just so happened somebody was in the building that heard about that need and said, I've been praying, asking God what I'm to do. I don't want anybody to know who's doing what. I don't want anything to be publicized because I want to help them. And I have these funds. I can meet that full need, and I want to do that. And I was thinking about that as I was preparing for this morning, that all of you have stopped, you've given something to somebody on the street, you've ministered to somebody's needs that's in the congregation, you understand the difference. It's where you are lifting up Jesus instead of lifting up yourself. And so he goes on from there in Matthew. And now, what about prayer? We're talking about prayer this morning. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. How do they pray? They love to pray publicly. On street corners, in the synagogues, where everyone can see them, I assure you, that is all the reward they will ever get. Again, this is not saying that we should not have public prayer meetings where someone leads out in prayer. This is saying if you are praying to be heard by man, then that is your reward. But if you're praying, whether it's in the congregation or your private prayer, if you're praying to speak to God, then that is acceptable to God, and that's what Jesus is addressing. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, pray to your Father secretly. Could I just meddle a bit? If you don't pray secretly, your public praying is probably not all it should be. Think about that. So go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, pray to your Father secretly. Then your Father who knows all secrets will reward you. Then when you pray, don't babble on and on as other people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered only by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them because the Father knows exactly what you need. Drop down to verse 14. If you forgive those who sin against you, your Father, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Forgiveness is important, isn't it? We have the Our Father prayer that's given to us above that. Then verse 16 addresses fasting. So we have giving, we have praying, and we have fasting, all addressed here. That's in the context of what we're going to see in just a moment as we're looking to conclude the morning. And so Jesus said, when you fast, don't make it obvious. Again, it's the same thing. It's the same thing in all of these passages where we're called upon to have enduring faith. Enduring faith is needed. Do we give, pray, and fast for God's attention, or do we do it for man's? That's really the only question. And you know in your heart why you do what you do. But that is the question. So we do it as unto the Father, right? And then we get down to verse 25. It says, so I tell you, don't worry. Now, Michael already said, don't worry, be happy. Michael already said that this morning, so he was right. And here it is. It's right here in this context. Don't worry about what kind of life? Everyday. Everyday life. Don't worry about everyday life. Now, if you don't worry about everyday life, what are you going to have to worry about? Just asking. I mean, Jesus is saying, I want you to bring everything that's in every day and bring it to me. I want you to pray about it, and I want you to trust me in it. So I don't want you to be anxious. Don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food, drink, or clothes. Doesn't life consist of more than food and clothing? Goes on, talks about the birds, how God feeds them. You're far more valuable. Don't worry about your clothing. Verse 28, why worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies, how they grow. Again, talking about the clothing that God puts on the lilies, how beautiful. Even Solomon, all of his glory, could not compare with what God put out in the field that no one even went out and planted. It's just out there growing. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today, gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you? It's just a question if God does that. You have so little faith. We're talking really about faith. Luke 18, it was about faith. You have so little faith, so don't worry about having enough food or drink, clothing. Why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about these things? Then it says, your heavenly Father. How do we pray? Our Father. Our Father. I loved in Israel as we had one of the rabbis that was with us. We were traveling. We were in Megiddo, and his son was with him. And I heard someone saying, Abba, Abba, Abba. He got lost a little bit in the ruins. He didn't see his daddy, and he's calling for his dad. Abba, Father, Father. Look at your father. Father, Father already knows. Father knows all your needs. Sometimes we just need to stop and say, thank you, Father. The devil didn't sneak something in on you. You know my needs. You know exactly what my needs are. Father knows all your needs, and he will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So don't worry. Don't worry. And then we come to this passage that we've been sort of jumping around for the last couple weeks in chapter 7. And it says, why worry about a speck in your friend's eye? In verse 3, you know the story about the log and the plank. Getting all caught up in the issues with somebody else's life, that can really hinder us in receiving from God by becoming a judge, judgmental. But then when you get down to verse 7, we come to this that is so familiar. Keep on asking. Keep on asking. Ask. I like the King James. I grew up with it. Ask and it shall be what? Given unto you. Keep on. But the Greek makes it real clear. It is to be a continued action. So you keep on asking and you will be given what you ask for. Keep on looking. This is faith. Faith keeps asking. Faith keeps looking for it to show up, and keep on knocking, and the door will be open. The door will be open. You keep asking, you're going to receive. You're going to receive. Keep looking, seeking, you're going to find. You're going to find. You keep knocking, the door's going to be open. For everyone who asks, receives. If you just read that part, for everyone that asks, receives, you'd think, well, I ask, why haven't I received yet? Keep asking. If you get anything out of the morning, where's my shovel? Your shovel. Dig again. Don't let the devil steal your faith. What do you need? The Father knows what your needs are. What are your needs? What is your prayer? What is your request? What is your burden? Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Keep digging. Keep praying. Do you see it in the Word of God? It's in the Word of God. To be diligent and to not lose hope in God. For if you, everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and the door is opened to everyone who believes. Well, we pray to discern and know the will of God. So prayer is important to understand what the Holy Spirit's leading us to do and to know when to do it. That's important. Prayer is important. But as I was in prayer over this and seeking God about what to say, the Father really kind of made an issue in my heart to say, many people pray to know, but they fail to go. You know, years ago we had the bumper stickers that said, what would Jesus do? Remember those? What would Jesus do? We had little things on our wrists. What would Jesus do? And then somebody came up with a different bumper sticker. And it said, now that we know what Jesus would do, do it. So this is what the Lord was really putting in my heart to say, if you know what the will of God is, then go and believe God for it. Stand in it, pursue it, and do everything you know to do to be obedient in that calling that God has given you. If you don't know, then I would encourage you to not just dash off and be an Abraham or Sarah. We can do it. Yeah, I'll make this happen. I'll tell you, I'm tempted all the time to make things happen. And I've experienced some suffering because of that. And we can make some things happen in the flesh. But I believe it's much better for us to wait upon the Lord, to seek the heart of God until we understand what God is saying. And then we say, and God, what do you want me to do right now? What is my part? And when we know that, to act upon it. So, you know, I look into the Word of God and in 1 Kings, you know the story about Elijah. He's up on the mountain. He's already faced the prophets of Baal. They've all been put to death. And now it hasn't rained in 3.5 years. You're familiar with all of that. And Elijah is praying for the rain to come. He's praying for rain. And he has a servant. And apparently the servant was given the job of watching and praying. But Elijah's praying. He's praying that the rain will come because it's time for the rain to come. Isn't that interesting? God could have just sent the rain. Many people say, well, you know, I knew a guy. He never changed the oil in his car. He just added oil to it. Never changed the oil in his car. And this is a really wealthy guy. And I said, you're really stupid. And he didn't give the church any money, just so you know that. But he was really wealthy, but he did stupid things. And he says, well, don't you think God can take care of the oil in my car? I said, yes, God can do that. But God also gave you the ability to take care of some things, right? So Elijah has an assistant, and God could have just sent the rain, but many times God wants us to intercede for a change of season. It had been dry for 3.5 years. The prophet was involved in that because he was preaching that it wasn't going to rain because God said it's not going to rain. So it didn't rain, but it's time for a change of season. And God could have just sent the rain, but he didn't. He put it on the prophet's heart to do what he had done earlier, to seek him and listen and receive so he would be a part of it, a partner with God in it. And you know, the servant goes out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, and it's the 7th time he comes back. What do you say? One cloud the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, that's enough for me. I don't need anything more than that. We're good to go. We got to get out of here. It's going to rain. This rain is coming. Go tell Ahab. And that was enough. But it did take 6 times or 7 times. What if it had taken 70 times? What if it had taken 700 times? Some of you feel like you've done a whole lot more than 7 times. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Jesus told the story so we would not fail to trust him. There's one other account. Jesus, he's in the garden, Matthew's gospel, Luke's gospel, Mark's gospel. We see Jesus, he's praying. You remember his prayer. 3 different times he prays. And I don't want to pick on those who teach that if you really have faith, you pray once, you never pray again, because that's a sign of doubt and unbelief. But I want to remind you that Elijah had pretty good operative faith, and he ended up in the book of James, and he prayed more than one time. In other words, we have a pattern of being faithful to seek God and trust God. Oh, it almost sounds like the push, doesn't it? Pray until something happens. Pray until God moves. Pray until the answer is secured. Pray and believe God. Yes, Jesus, he's in the garden, and it's real clear that all 3 times he prayed exactly the same thing. It says he prayed as he had prayed before. He prayed as he had prayed before. 3 times Jesus prayed. What was he praying? He didn't really like in his flesh to think about all that was going to happen. And I know we make a big deal about the pain to his flesh, and I know that was a big deal. I don't want to diminish that, but I believe sin was the real issue. I believe the real issue was Jesus was going to take upon himself, being totally sinless as the Son of God, was going to take upon himself all of the sins of all of us for all history, and he was going to become sin for us. That's what the Word says. And I believe that thought that the holiness of God, I mean, Jesus even says to his Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? Some people believe that at that moment that the Father turns His face away. I've never sensed the Father turned His face away from me, but I felt like He has. I felt like He has. I don't believe when Jesus says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, that Jesus is saying, when you're at your toughest point, God turns away from you and He's not listening to your prayer. I don't believe that's at all what that's saying. I believe what it's saying is, as men and women in the flesh, we feel like God is not with us. Doesn't mean He's not. It just means our feelings are cut off for some reason. We do not have the wonderful mountaintop excited feelings all the time, regardless of how spiritual you are. Jesus is totally sinless, and yet He is at that moment in His life where it seems that the Father's presence is not with Him. I know in the movie, a teardrop falls at that point in the film, but we know from the account, His prayer is, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But then all three times, He ends up with this prayer, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. James calls us to add one other word to this morning. And I'd like you to turn to James chapter 5 as we close. James 5. Thank you, Roger, for bringing a shovel in this morning. You must have known I was going to need that. James chapter 5, look at verse 7. James 5, verse 7. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Humble yourself. Look at verse 10. When you bow down before the Lord and admit your dependence on Him, He will lift you up and honor you. We see, I'm in chapter 4. I'm moving to chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 7. Dear brothers and sisters, you must be patient. Patience, the word I want to add to. This is humility. Chapter 4, verse 10. Bowing down, admitting your dependence on Him. There's humility. But this word patience, dear brothers and sisters, you must be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. And then there's a story about the farmer who eagerly looks for the rains in the fall and the spring. They patiently wait for the precious harvest. Verse 8, you too must be patient. This isn't saying you too as a husband and wife. It's saying each of you must be patient and take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. And so we must be patient as we're consistently praying, we're trusting God. Just take courage. Lord's coming is near. Verse 10, for examples of patience and suffering. Dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. In verse 11, we give great honor to those who endure under suffering. We're talking about patience. Have patience in trusting God. Trust God. Job is an example. I don't want to go where Job went. But Job is an example. Want an illustration? Here's the illustration. We have the illustration of Elijah this morning. There's many more in the Word of God. We have Elijah, had the illustration of Jesus, who is continually praying three different times. And then we have the example of Job. Job is an example of a man who did what? He endured patiently. From his experience, we see how the Lord's plan finally ended in good, for He is full. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. The enemy may be standing on your head and screaming at you and telling you, where is your God and why hasn't He done things this way and how can you trust? And I know all of that stuff. The devil tells us all the same lies. But we need to understand it's not over yet. If we can learn anything from Job, Job would say, listen, don't give up while you're still in the fight. You've got to trust God. So He's full of tenderness and mercy. But most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. Just say a simple yes or no so that you will not sin. And then we get to 13. We're familiar with this, aren't we? Are any among you suffering? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Are any suffering? They should do what? A little louder. What are they going to do? Keep on praying. Yes. And those who have reason to be thankful should continually sing praises. We got it, don't we, Robin? We have it. So it is praying, being thankful, singing praises. We already saw that somewhere else, didn't we? Are there any among you sick? The answer is yes. Yes. We read about the apostles. They were under attack. They came under physical attack. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church. Have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And their prayer offered in faith will heal the sick and make them well. Now let me tell you the tough part about this. Because all of us, I hope and trust, have had healings that God has brought to our bodies before. I trust that all of us can testify to that. In fact, I believe Joanne even received from God some fresh body parts, right? So we have some amazing testimonies in this room. We just go around the room, talk about what God has done. We've received healings. But we need to keep in mind there's another side of this, that it's not God's plan that we live forever on this earth. Hello? So one day when someone came up and it was before a service, and the lady said, would you please pray for my husband? I had never seen them before, didn't know them. She said, my husband has a critical condition. It's fatal. Doctor said there's nothing they can do. Would you please pray? And I went to pray for this man. As I went to pray for him, the Lord spoke to me and said, we're all fatal. You get to heaven, we have to leave this body. This flesh has to be changed. It can't move into heaven like this. This Jonathan McLean house is not moving into heaven like this. God has a new body for me. And we need to remember that God has a new body for you too. We all have a glorified body. And so when we lay hands and pray for someone, I realized that morning that the man I was praying for could actually outlive his wife, who thought his condition was fatal, because her condition and all of our condition is we all have a short period of time here. But I'm conscious of this. When we lay hands on and pray for someone, and I hear people say things like this, pray that I'm totally healed. Do you know when you're totally healed, you're going to be in the presence of Jesus? That's when you're going to be totally healed. In this world, we will have troubles. We will face sickness, disease, and demons, but God delivers us as long as we're on assignment and strengthens us for the task He gives us to do.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Greetings. We invite you to join the Word of Truth International Ministry with Pastor Richard and Lucy Pope every Saturday at 8 a.m. as we break the bread of life and teach the Word of God right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.